Dramatized lesson is called Entertaining Friends. Kurt and Anna are enjoying a pleasant evening at home, having drinks with some neighbors. Listen to what they say, and I will translate.
Look, I'm slapped, Mother Lima! I'm all slapped! How was he slapped, Mother?
Have some more. No, thank you. I've had enough. Just then, there is a ring at the door.
Goblin Hibble! What is that?
Oh, there's someone at the door.
Guten Abend, meine Herren und Damen, und willkommen.
Good evening.
Stehen Sie, wo bist du, der ghastly Saarbraten und Schweinbrot, Dachs und Kaputt, verstehen Sie?
Oh, please don't get up. Just stay right where you are. That's it.
Hey, Achtung, Sie sind Kartoffeln. Yep. Die Gates in der Reeperbahn, wenn der Mann gang sitzen, alles die Gits, verstehen Sie?
Jawohl, Herr General, jawohl.
Would you care for some tea?
I think you got that wrong, ducky.
Oh, I'm so sorry,
this
Harry.
Is ein Grund und Splitterfeuer, das getrennt ist auf dem Kopf des Produzierers.
There is a machine gun trained on the producer's head.
Dankeschön, du sneaky weasels.
And that ends German for Beginners for today. The story you heard was, of course, purely fictional.
Don't you believe it, sweethearts. Is that the great British public? Are you listening, beautiful British public? We are taking over the BBC. We are taking over the BBC.
And that's the last in our series of German lessons.
Far from it, Candy Lips. Even now, Jimmy Young is in our power.
BBC Midnight String.
Who will play our national anthem? Ah. Stand up, play your peasants, play. Eins, zwei, drei.
Thank you, band. Yes, it's all if I'm wrong again. It isn't. I'm not sorry. I won't read that for the first time. Which doesn't mean that Timbuk Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bill Oddie aren't with you again. I'm almost negative about this.
David. David's flipped again, everybody.
And yesterday, here isn't John Otto Cleese, who has nothing to say to you.
Oh, yes, it's not. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Again.
What are you talking about?
We present, and I'm sorry, I'll read that again, survey. Today we look at money. Where does money come from and where does money go? It's no use pretending money is unimportant like the government do. Nobody likes being poor. And to suddenly come into some money has an immediate effect on anyone.
I'm rich.
I'm rich. Rich! Money! Money!
Suddenly, things that you only dreamt of before become possible.
I'll rule the world, helped by David Frost!
But though coins and banknotes are everyday things to us now, it hasn't always been like this. Millions of years ago, there was no internationally acceptable system of currency.
Nothing changes.
Let us first take a brief look at the history of money.
In prehistoric times, the early cavemen used to assess a man's wealth by the number of dinosaurs' teeth he had. Then they realized that men had human teeth. And they changed over to using the teeth of the saber-toothed tiger. Now, since saber-toothed tigers were extremely fierce, most of the cavemen were very poor, which is why they lived in caves, whilst the saber-toothed tigers lived in luxury flats.
A similar system was used for hundreds of years by the Galapagos pygmies, who rated their wealth by possession of the teeth of the great hairy anteater, which is nowadays known as the great toothless hairy anteater.
Throughout the world, different primitive systems persisted for centuries. Red Indians used to use pork chops as currency. And with them, they bought American dollars, which they grilled and ate. And until quite recently, South Sea Islanders used melons. But this was discontinued because they jammed up the slot machines.
In England, modern coinage was founded by Henry VIII, who, faced with a couple of gambling debts, chopped his crown in two and originated the 2 and 6 penny piece. This was followed by Queen Elizabeth's royal mint.
We find it quite delicious.
And today in this country, coins and notes are still manufactured by the Royal Mint and by Fingers Lamont of the Balls Pond Road.
Money has inspired songs.
Money, a tear has to fall.
Some people spend it like water.
I'll just make out a check for 3 gallons.
Whilst others have to borrow.
You'll find £2 on the gas stove.
Ah, a loan on the range.
You're right.
Some men will do anything to get it, humiliating themselves like appearing on TV talent competitions like Opportunity Knocks. Whilst others depend on the generosity of the public, like taxi drivers.
There you are.
Here, what about a tip?
Never try and whistle with your mouth full of blancmange.
Thank you, Gav, you're a real top.
But of course, even the richest people usually start with nothing. We asked a few how they'd made their first 100.
You, madam, I believe that by the time you were 21, you'd made your first 100.
I certainly had.
Oh.
We then spoke with Arthur Sixpence, a man who certainly made his pile.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes, I'm here. Arthur Sixpence, you are now a millionaire, and I must say you seem pretty happy.
I am. I'm very, very, very happy.
How did it happen?
I made my money the hard way. Hand-painted every note. No, really, no. My dad used to say to me, Laddie said, where there's muck, there's money. I took his advice. I sold dirty photos. No, really, no. No, honest. I used to be so poor, I took a job as a contortionist just to make ends meet. No, I'm seriously, though. I went into the wholesale business. Wholesale. Sold 200 holes in a month. Then the police started looking into him. No, give up now, please. Then I went into retailing, fixing up Manx caps. Think about that. That's a subtle one. Yes, thank you. Let yourself go. Have a good time. No, I made a lot. I made a lot of money. I put most of it into cement. Hard cash. What? No. And now I'm in higher purchase. Radio sets, £100 each. Cash down or no sale.
That's not a higher purchase.
It's the highest purchase I know. Aye, everyone a gem.
Yes, and what do you do now?
I'm a comic, and not doing too well.
Of course, essential to the monetary system are banks. Be it a humble piggy bank.
So, you want to start an account?
Or one of the big national banks. These are the backbone of finance. Once you put your money into a bank, no one can get at it. Least of all, you. On these banks depends the whole business of international currency. If you are confused by foreign exchange rates, remember these simple rules.
If you take a pound note into a Swiss bank, you'll get 10 shillings and sixpence.
If you take a pound note into a French bank, you'll get a lot of sympathy.
If you take a pound note into a German bank, you'll get a big laugh.
And if you take a pound note into an English bank, you'll get in a very long queue.
So then, people come by their money in many ways. Some people earn it, some people steal it, and some people are lucky enough to inherit it.
To my son, Michael, I leave a nice little windfall. £2 of apples. To my son, Timothy, I know my daughter Alice looks to as the breadwinner. I leave a loaf. Hoy. And lastly, I come to Cousin Jack, whom I promised I would mention in my will. Cousin Jack, there you are, I've mentioned you. Now, if someone will pay my death duties, I'll be off. If they're coming out of my money, I'm not going.
Oh, yes, you are. True wealth can't buy happiness, but then neither can poverty. Fortunately, nowadays, although prices are higher, there is more money about, and young people in particular have more to spend than ever before. However, this does not always meet with the approval of the older folks, as you might imagine.
Longhead fellow.
Longhead fellow.
Do you know the trouble with the youth of today?
No.
Do you know the trouble with the youth of today?
No.
Doesn't anybody know the trouble with the youth of today?
Anybody know?
Whoa. I do. The trouble with the youth of today is... they've got too much money.
Far too much money.
We didn't have it. We were incredibly poor.
We were so poor. My father couldn't afford the bus fare to go to work. He was unemployed for 12 years, my father, yes. We all starved to death. Twice.
We were so poor,
what?
We even used to get our milk on the Never Never.
Huh?
We never paid and they never delivered.
We had to watch the coppers.
Had to watch the coppers?
In case they nicked us for stealing.
I had to give my wife a very strict budget.
I gave my wife a very strict budget.
I gave my wife a very strict budget.
Budget?
Yes, picked her eyes out if she overspent.
Of course, these long-haired youngsters today. They've got money for motor cars and tape recorders and gramophones.
We couldn't afford gramophones. No gramophones. Had to play all our records on the sewing machine.
Yes, you know, I used to get a penny pocket money a month.
I only used to get a halfpenny a year.
But I used to have to pay my father threepence a week.
Of course, it went a lot further in those days.
A lot further. Yes, go around the world on the Queen Mary for twopence halfpenny and keep the boat. I've still got the Queen Mary in me bath.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was a rubber duck.
I tell a lie. You could go around the world on a rubber duck for twopence halfpenny.
And of course, you'd still have your halfpenny left.
And a halfpenny would go a long way.
You could take that halfpenny, call it at a farmhouse at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Get away.
Give them the halfpenny, and they'd give you a 6-course breakfast.
Yeah.
Bacon and milk and eggs straight from the cow.
Don't make cows like that.
And they give you
a farthing change.
And you can take that farthing into a bank and hand it in at the counter. And they give you a new crisp £5 note for it.
They wouldn't do that nowadays.
That's a damn stupid boy.
About the three-month-old baby. Do you remember those names? Saying, we know they can talk, but can they sing? Well, you see, the other day, they were all outside the supermarket with a little Brazilian baby, and he started tapping his rusk on the side of his pram. And then Nigel picked up his rattle and started shaking his rattle. And Johnny started rattling his bell. And little Rupert joined in on his toy drum kit. Here he comes. Wait for him. He was very good, actually. And with a little imagination, they got a whole thing going. Shake a rattle, shake a fella, shake a string up. Shake yourself and keep the rhythm, that is all it needs. Every baby does the samba when he shakes that thing. Long before he starts talking, he has learned to sing. Now that's the sound of the babe. Ooh, gee, boo, gee, boo, gee, boo. I sing it loud as you sing. Ooh, gee, boo, gee, boo, gee, boo. Well, it's so easy to do. Ooh, gee, boo, gee, boo, gee, boo. Ta-da! From Brazil to Venezuela, London to Peru. Baby talks a common language anyone can do. Drummer, baby, I listen to his song. And with just a little practice, you can sing along. Ooh-gee, boo-gee, boo-gee, boo. That's the sound of the baby. Ooh-gee, boo-gee, boo-gee, boo. I sing it loud as you say. Ooh-gee, boo-gee, boo-gee, boo. Well, it's so easy to do. Then the Brazilian baby picked up his toy tin whistle and he began to play. We'll be right back.
That song was, in fact, one of our competition winners, the title being sent in by B. Nelson of Coventry. Congratulations and thanks to him, and he wins a signed LP of our show.
And now here is a police message. A Bond Street jeweler's was broken into late last night, and 8 wristwatches were stolen. Police are looking for a very punctual octopus.
And now... see the mighty army of Hannibal crossing the Alps. See the legions of Tiberius Caesar marching to victory at Carthage. Otherwise, you'll be stuck at home listening to the next episode of Professor Prune and the Electric Time Trousers. Well, here's the story so far. Professor Prune and his friends Trixie and Percy have landed in the year 2069, where they've been met up with Bubirella and Pike at the Angel. They've all been caught by the wicked fetish, King of the City of Sin. And believe it or not, yes, he's going to put them all in the pleasure machine. Oh, really? You can't expect people to leave drivel like that.
Do it properly.
Oh, come on, you can't be serious.